Here's Kevin Falmouth.
Here's Saad trying to dart in, and he scores. Brandon Saad beats Fleury 5-hole. The St. Louis Blues have picked up the all-important second point. Bennington robs Rossi at one end. Saad the other way cuts through the slot, beats Fleury 5-hole. And the Blues win it 5-4 in overtime.
Just 2 minutes and 5 seconds into the extra frame, the Blues snag the all-important extra point. Wild lose in overtime today in front of 19,090. Welcome to the postgame show. Kevin Falness in the Bob Kurtz Radio Center. Upstairs in the Al Shaver press box. Tom, it was a heck of a hockey game. A lot of fun. But fun doesn't cut it this time of year. They needed 2 points and they settled for one. That's not enough.
No, you're right, Kevin. This was a big one. And the save of the game was the one on Rossi at the very end there in the overtime. That was one terrific effort by Rossi to try and put the puck in the net there. He had a great game. But once again, the veteran Bennington able to make the save on that one. They come right back the other way and put it away.
Yeah, this one's going to sting, and I don't know that you would officially call it the knockout punch. They're not, in theory, eliminated at this point, but we knew how tough. I think we said that they had to win 10 of their final 12 games to get to 96 points, and now you settle for a point here. And not only that, of course, the Blues, a team that you're in direct competition with, takes that extra point. That's just that's not going to be easy to recover from.
No, and you're right, but you know what? You have to give Minnesota a lot of credit. I didn't think they were very good in the first period, but they picked it up in the second and got even better in the third period. But they never had a chance to have much control of the puck in the overtime. I mean, most of it was done by St. Louis, and you have to have puck possession. But if you don't win the draws, especially at the beginning of the overtime, you're going to be chasing the whole time, and that's what they were doing majority of the time.
Tom, who is your catalyst of the game?
Well, I'm a guy with had a couple goals here tonight, no question. When you look at Marco Rossi, a rookie, and now he's had a number of games over the years, but mostly in Iowa last year. But here's a guy that was really interesting also, Kevin. 7 of his 9 shots were on target tonight. He had a total of 9 attempts. 7 of them found the way, and 3, and 2 of them found the back, and then almost had that third one.
Yeah, it was very close. That's a good choice for the catalyst of the game. Tonight in St. Paul, the NCHC Frozen Faceoff is taking place down here. What's going on up the street at Tom Reed's Hockey City Pub?
Well, I'm sure we'll have a pretty good group over there. Hopefully we will, anyway, for the NCHC, and hopefully it'll be one of those games where there is a winner, and whoever wins this one, of course, is going on to the Frozen Four.
All right, Tom, thank you.
Thank you.
Tom Reed upstairs in the Al Shaver press box, and he tells us Marco Rossi with his third goal in 2 games against the St. Louis Blues. Of course, he had a pair of them today. Gets up to that 20-goal threshold for the Minnesota Wild. Marco Rossi gets the catalyst of the game. The catalyst of the game is presented by Catalyst Supply Co., building materials and install support for the modern professional. Joe O'Donnell's making his way down to the Wild locker room. We'll get you John Hines as well. Wild lose today in overtime. They fall to the St. Louis Blues. This is Wild Hockey presented by XL Energy.
Stealing is Rossi off a failed chin pass. Rossi to his backhand, put in front. Oh, Bennington just fought it off as he went backhand, forehand.
Man, would that have been an awesome way to finish this thing off. It would have been goal number 3 on the afternoon for Marco Rossi. Instead, Jordan Bennington comes away with the XL Energy big save of the game, powered by XL Energy. Moments later, Brandon Saad makes us sad.
Here's Saad trying to dart in, and he scores. Brandon Saad beats Fleury 5-hole. The St. Louis Blues have picked up the all-important second point. Bennington robs Rossi at one end. Saad the other way cuts through the slot, beats Fleury 5-hole, and the Blues win it 5-4 in overtime.
Yeah, 2:05 of the extra frame. Saad delivers his 22nd of the year. The Blues get the extra point. Wild settle for one as they lose in overtime to the St. Louis Blues. Brandon Saad gets the Toyota shift of the game, presented by Toyota, official vehicle of the Minnesota Wild. Let's pause 10 seconds for station identification. You're listening to Wild Hockey, presented by XL Energy. Joe O'Donnell is next. This is Wild Hockey, presented by XL Energy. Well, that's a wrap on this one. Wild lose 5-4 in overtime. While we wait for Joe O'Donnell, let's get you some of the highlights from this one. Wild were down one zip after one period of play. Jake Neighbor scores his 25th of the year to break the ice. 1-0 is your score at that point. That's your score after 20 minutes. But the Wild pull even early in the second. How about that, Marcus Johansson?
Johansson finally digs it free. The Wild attack. Faber and Boldy. It comes to Boldy right side. He'll curl off. Late help coming. Johansson. Down low. Faber. Back to Johansson. He scores!
Game number 900, make that for number 90. Marcus Johansson, slick little give and go with Brock Faber, finds the back of the net, gets his 10th of the year, 4:45 into the second. Wild and Blues even at a goal apiece. 7 minutes later, Marco Rossi scores his first of two on the day.
Lurie's lost his glove. Play continues. He's lost his stick as well. Kaprizov, headband, it's a breakaway.
Two consecutive goals for the Wild get their first lead of the hockey game. That one comes at the 11:44 mark of the second. Kirill Kaprizov sets it up, but the Blues, of course, answer right away. Just over a minute later, Jordan Kyrou scores his 23rd, first of three on the day for him. And that is your score, 12:49 of the second. But then it's Marco Rossi again.
Marco Rossi on an interchange and a crisscross gives it to Kaprizov. Lead help coming to Gorell. Through it!
Yeah, it was Zuccarello that put it in that blue paint, and that Rossi's at the right place at the right time. Has it go in off his skate, doesn't redirect it, not a kicking motion. It's a good goal, 15-11 of the second. While back in front, Rossi is second of the day, 20th of the season. Then Jordan Kyrou in the third takes over. He scores his 24th to tie the game at 3 at the 3:50 mark. Then at the midway point through the third period, scores his 25th of the season, completes the hat trick. Blues in front of your Wild 4-3, but not to be outdone. Here comes Brock Faber to tie this thing up at 4 apiece.
Middleton to Faber, right side, back to Middleton, has a lane, team one up!
What is he doing up there, other than scoring goals?
14:51 of the third, just over 5 minutes left to go in regulation. Brock Faber saves the day, pushes this game past regulation, ends up in overtime, but the Wild fall in the extra session. They lose 5-4 in overtime to the St. Louis Blues. Down to the Wild locker room, Joe O'Donnell with number 23.
Thanks, Kevin. Outside the Wild dressing room, after a tough 5-4 overtime loss to St. Louis Blues, Joe O'Donnell joined by Marco Rossi, who had a couple goals in the game, nearly had that overtime winner. First of all, how disappointing is this result, given the fact you had a lead at home?
Yeah, I mean, to us it sucks, you know, losing. We want to have 2 points, not 1 point, but at least we want to take the one. And, yeah, I mean, nothing changed for us. We have to keep playing, keep winning. And, yeah, our goal is obviously make the playoff.
What did you like about the team's effort despite the overtime loss?
I think when we were down, we were really hunting the game and coming together as a group and creating a lot of chances. You know, after our first period was maybe not our best, but it shows a lot of character. We did a good bounce back, came back, then they came back, but we never gave up. And that showed a lot of character for us.
You had 2 goals in the game. There's maybe a stretch where you weren't finding the back of the net to probably your liking. I don't know if the confidence waned or not, but you seem to be really confident today. How'd you feel out there?
Yeah, I mean, you know, I always talk to the older guys because they have so much experience and stuff, and obviously to the coaches too. And you always have ups and downs, you know. It's normal. It's important to keep playing your game, you know. Don't, like, when you don't score, cheat for offense and stuff like that, because then your game will never come back. It's just important to keep sticking. I mean, I had really a lot of chances before it. They just didn't bounce in. So it was important for me to keep going, because I know sooner or later going to bounce in. And then, you know, it's a relief once you score again. And so, yeah, I knew it's going to come sooner or later. and when it's coming, then, you know, you feel hot and you just want to keep going.
It felt like you could have had four or five goals today. Did you feel that way?
Yeah, I had a couple of chances, one or third, I think, when Curry gave me the pass. And then obviously in overtime, it was really close. Yeah.
He just made a good save. What did you see on that play in overtime?
Yeah, I mean, I was out there for a while, and I got the puck, and I didn't really know what I should do, to be honest. And then I just saw, like, the guy was pretty much standing ahead of me, and I was coming with speed, so I know I have to go around him. And I just saw Binnington did, like, a poke check, so I knew I have to shoot. And, yeah, it was really close, but, yeah.
You guys will get a few days off. How much can that help?
Yeah, I mean, it can help a lot. I mean, on Sunday evening, we're going to come together, you know, with the team. It's going to be important, you know, to get away with hockey. Have a free mind from, you know, get away from hockey. It's really important right now because we know how intense it's going to be. And, you know, just enjoy it with the family. And, yeah, get the couple of days away from hockey is huge.
We'll see you back on Thursday with the Sharks in town. Thanks for doing this interview. Congrats on the two goals, now 20 on the season. It's a heck of a mark to hit in your first full NHL season. Again, thanks for your time.
Thank you so much.
That's Marco Rossi outside the Wild dressing room. Minnesota falls in overtime, though, to St. Louis 5-4 here in St. Paul. Back to you, Kevin.
Joe, thank you very much for joining us in the postgame show. Marco Rossi will get a gift certificate down to Tom Reed's Hockey City Pub. Twofers during each and every Minnesota Wild game, home or away, if they're on the ice. Twofers at Tom Reed's Hockey City Pub, and they will be busy tonight because the NCHC Frozen Faceoff takes the ice here in about just under 3.5 hours from now. That should be a lot of fun. Not fun today. It was a fun hockey game, but the problem is it's not about fun right now. You need results. And for a team that's chasing the top eight and now chasing the St. Louis Blues, the Wild settle for a point. Now two back of the Blues for the Blues, the Wild are in 10th place, the Blues are in 9th, and they're both trailing the Vegas Golden Knights, who, of course, will be in action later on tonight. Why don't we take a break, and then when we continue, we'll get you John Hines' post-game comments. This is Wild Hockey, presented by XL Energy. For the Wild lose in overtime today to the St. Louis Blues. John Hines will address the media here momentarily, but while we got the opportunity, let's go down and hear from Brock Faber. Of course, he took a penalty heading into overtime when he and Jake Neighbors came together. They actually, Hines looks like he's about to start, so why don't we go to that first? I'm pretty sure he's entering the room, and there he is, John Hines, addressing the media. Let's join him now.
Overtime, first of all, to not have Faber, because he's in the box, had to be just, you know, with your defense situation, had to be just a tough thing. And then, you know, on the game-winning goal, it felt like Boldy could have just stopped at the goal mouth for a face-off and decided to fly by, and that allowed the play to go, you know, Binnington to play the puck.
Yeah, obviously with Fabes not being in the overtime, that puts us a little bit at a deficit just because he's the style of defenseman that obviously is really good in those situations. And then, we could have played a couple sit really on the goal, a couple different situations, even on the rush coming in. Just the coverage wasn't what it needed to be.
What's been so frustrating about this matchup the last month or these three games against them? If you think of the points that you could have had, it'd be a much different picture. Is it just, are they separate games, different things, or is it just something that's been passed?
Yeah, I think they're all, I think all the games are obviously different. They've been, you know, some highly contested games for sure, and, you know, we haven't wound up with the 2 points. You know, two of them we got only 1 point, so, you know, but I think each game has had a different story to it.
How tough was it? You had, like, probably, I think, 3 chances to make it 4-2. Zuccarello breakaway, a couple others. I mean, you think it's a different game if you can get 4-2 and then lock it down from there?
Yeah, you know, I think a lot of times when you're in those games and you have the lead and you do have the quality, several of the quality looks that we had to be able to get it to a 2-goal deficit is certainly, I think, changes the dynamic of the game. And lots of times if, you know, you can hit that second goal to make it 4, then you know, I think it gives you, I think the dynamic of the game would change in that situation.
The you know, overall, your rookies this year, Rossi and Faber, have had really quality years. 86 points, I think, between both the two of them and a couple others that have come up. I mean, just how important have they been for you, and does it give you a real you know, uplifting feeling going into next season for those guys?
Yeah, it certainly does. I think, you know, to have younger players in your lineup and play important roles and not only just play but be real productive players for you is certainly, I think, good for them as individuals and their confidence levels as players. But also, I think, for your team moving forward, that's certainly something that has to happen, particularly in the salary cap era where you have to be able to have young guys come in to your lineup, you know, lots of times on entry-level contracts. And if those guys can be impact players like Rossi and Faber have been, it certainly is going to help your team in the now as they have this year, but also in the future for sure.
What's the mindset or the vibe in the room right now? You guys are controlling what you can control and getting the points, but now, especially with this 4 days off, you have to have other teams help you out a little bit. How do you guys approach that?
Yeah, no different than what we've talked about before is that, you know, I think you have to use the rest the right way. You know, we have a couple days where the guys can get away from it a little bit, and I think that is important this time of year. We also have a couple of real quality practice days prior to playing again, so it's to get away from it. But you can't do anything about it during that stretch, and I think the best thing is continue to focus on what we can do and what we can control and continue to try to push ourselves, you know, as we have been, you know, for a while here now, and that's all we can do.
Will that be your message when everyone reconvenes on Tuesday? Is there something else you want to just emphasize to keep their heads up amid this?
Well, I think their heads are up. I mean, it's obviously you're disappointed in the game, but you know, I think it's good that you can get a little bit of rest right now and then get some quality practice time because of the game schedule and be fresh when we come back to play, and then, you know, from there, you have to just keep taking it game by game. And you got a big one on Thursday. And then, as I said before, there's going to be a big one on Saturday. So I think take the time to be able to get away from it a little bit, which is healthy, and then come back focused, ready to go, and get ourselves prepared to play on Thursday.
Are you pretty confident that you might get a couple players back for that Thursday game?
I'm hoping so, yeah. I mean, there's obviously a lot of time between that, but it's trending towards that way. I can't guarantee anything, but I'm hopeful for that, yeah.
It's not going just because of out of caution, or what was the reason for not having...
No, he wasn't ready to be able to play tonight. You know, he did practice yesterday and went through some things, but there's a different level of, you know, skating and practicing readiness versus game readiness.
Thanks.
All right, thank you.
There he is, the head coach of the Minnesota Wild, John Hines, addressing the media following a 5-4 overtime loss to the St. Louis Blues. You know, on the good part is the Wild are 6-1-3 in their last 10. The bad part is this one really hurts. In fact, back-to-back losses past regulation to the St. Louis Blues last week in the shootout out at Enterprise Center. Now tonight, this afternoon at XL Energy Center, the Wild fall short in overtime. Those are two huge points, especially when you're in direct competition with the Blues for that final playoff spot in the Western Conference. Certainly this won't help their road if they're to do something miraculous in the final 11 games. The good news is, though, they got a ton of home games left, including the rest of this homestand. 5 straight games at XL Energy Center, including Thursday when they swim with the Sharks. We'll preview that next. You're listening to Wild Hockey, presented by XL Energy.
Here's Saad trying to dart in, and he scores. Brandon Saad beats Fleury 5-0. The St. Louis Blues have picked up the all-important second points. Bennington robs Rossi at one end. Saad the other way, cuts through the slot, beats Fleury 5-0. And the Blues win it 5-4 in overtime.
Yeah, Wild certainly had their chances, especially from Marco Rossi in overtime, but Bennington up to the challenge, stops Rossi. Instead, it's Brandon Saad with his 22nd of the season, comes on the overtime. It comes in overtime, gives the Blues the extra point. They beat the Wild 5-4 today in overtime in front of 19,090. Wild take those 77 points, now trail the Blues by 2 points in the standings. Their record will read 34-28-9. They're 6-1-3 in their last 10 overall and 4-0-1 in their last 5 on home ice. Against the Blues, they'll finish off the season series taking 4 of 8 points, going 1-1-2. But because of NHL math, the Blues actually won 3 of the 4 games. They take 6 out of a possible 8 points. Wild have lost 16 of the last 22 in the series and did have a 2-game win streak against the Blues stopped coming in St. Paul. Marc-Andre Fleury suffers the loss. He falls to 16-12-5, still 8-3-2 in his last 13 appearances. That's a wrap on a Saturday afternoon in St. Paul. Up next, Game 2 of the 6-game homestand brings the San Jose Sharks to St. Paul. Wild get to see the Sharks two more times on the regular season. That's good because that team, dead last in the West, with 16 victories and 39 points. The Wild are in San Jose on March 3rd. They beat them 4-3, including Kirill Kaprizov putting up a hat trick. Wild have beaten the Sharks in 7 of the last 10 meetings, and they'll have them in St. Paul come Thursday night, pregame at 6:45. Puck drops just after 7 o'clock on most of these same stations. Special thanks to Tim Parachka, Zach Halverson, Alexis Pearson, Jackson Riebel, Dylan Daniel, and Aaron Sickman. And thanks to the Minnesota Wild Radio Network. We had the whole crew out here in a suite. It was Wild Affiliate Appreciation Day. It was a heck of a hockey game. Wild falls short, but we always thank all our radio partners all across the great state of hockey and beyond. And we also thank our listeners, people just like you. Thanks for tuning in. We'll do it again Thursday on the Minnesota Wild Radio Network.
You've been listening to Minnesota Wild Hockey.
Kaprizov scores! Are you kidding me?
Join us next time, right here, for more Wild Hockey action. Exclusive presentation of the Minnesota Wild, the National Hockey League, and the Minnesota Wild Radio Network.